The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned, rejoicing, and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. When hearing the stories of the gospel, we often like to put ourselves in the position of hearing Jesus say these words, and rightly so. They're the story of Jesus, and in effect are the words of Christ being said to us. And so we picture ourselves perhaps in audience with Jesus hearing these words as he is speaking to them. And in gospels such as this, the words he is speaking are to the elders, the 72 he is sending out to preach and to do the good works, to visit the homes of the people, to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. And of course, for we as priests, it is gospels such as these that we take to heart. What is the disposition in which we are conducting ourselves in serving you, the people of God? But there's another angle in which we can also hear these readings, not just as people who put ourselves in the setting of the gospel story itself, but in the setting of the presentation of the gospel when it was originally composed and proclaimed. In other words, to the congregation of believers for whom the gospel of Luke was written and to whom it was initially read in public places such as we do here. And so in addition to the words of commission that Jesus gives to the 72 elders and the leaders of the Christian community, there are also in two places rather tongue-in-cheek references that perhaps are intended to get the recipients of this message thinking of how we conduct ourselves in receiving these messages and these messengers. The first I want to point out, and it is in fact the second of this gospel, we see an option and a choice being given. Jesus isn't exactly saying, "This is your choice," but you can perhaps hear the evangelist rather in a tongue-in-cheek way saying, "Which one are you?" And that is where he says, "Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, and whatever town you enter and they do not receive you." To the audience who hears that at the first reading of this gospel or in any reading, it perhaps is the evangelist's backdoor way of putting forth the question, how do we receive this message? How do we receive the messengers that are sent to us, the messengers that are sent to you, and who have been commissioned to preach that gospel? And of course, with that comes a rather extreme warning. Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, the dust of your own town we shake off against you. And then he says, it'll go better for Sodom than for that town on that day. A rather dire warning to those who hear this, and a question, how do we receive it? And it's a question that could be, you know, worth asking ourselves as a parish. How do you receive? How have you received in the past, in the present, and how do you resolve in the future to receive the priests, the ministers, even the bishop that leads this this archdiocese? How do we receive those that God sends us, and how do we receive their message? Which of those two do we recognize ourselves in as a parish of St. Vincent de Paul? One thing that might be of consideration, if you look at today's bulletin, you'll note we have a new priest who's been appointed as associate pastor here at St. Vincent de Paul Church, Father Roy Remo. Some of you have already met him in the weekday masses. This is his first Sunday, and hopefully he'll time his presence outside for when Mass is finished. But when you look at that, hopefully it gives us all pause, or at least you all pause. You now have five priests here at St. Vincent de Paul Church. Five priests in this rectory. How many parishes, aside from St. Dominic's, which is a religious order to begin with, so they're already going to have that many, how many parishes can say they have five priests in their rectory? Which issues a particular challenge, if I may, as you're continuing for the time being parish administrator. Will we make it worth having five priests in this rectory for this parish? How does the parish respond to that? What involvement and participation do we bring to the worship in this Mass? The involvement and volunteerism that we have in this parish? The contributions that are made to the collection for the well-being of this parish, and the ongoing involvement of the people in a parish that has a great history in this archdiocese. Does it make it worth having five priests here? So keep that in mind. I mean, it's the summer. I know people are away, and it's something to consider as we prepare to enter into a new academic year, if not a new fiscal year, with the coming of the end of summer. But where do we as a parish fit into that particular choice in today's gospel? If whatever town you enter and they welcome you, whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, which is it that we can recognize is the reality in this parish? Second is at the very, very beginning of the gospel, in which Jesus is speaking not only to the elders that he is sending out, the 72, but basically to all of us, when he says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Of course, we love this particular passage when it comes to encouraging and praying for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. Ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for the harvest. And we often call upon this particular passage when we are asking the people or reflecting ourselves on praying and promoting and encouraging vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. But in this particular passage, it also bears the question, we may very much, I know I ever since I've been a child, in first grade in Catholic school, always remember to pray for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. But what is the spirit in which we pray for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life? What's the attitude we bring to the idea of a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life? When you look at the shortage of clergy these days, where it is very rare to see a parish that has five priests in the rectory because of the dire shortage, we often wonder, is God really hearing our prayers for priests and religious brothers and sisters to staff our schools and high schools and parishes? But is God not answering our prayers, or are we praying in such a way that perhaps God is answering our prayers and has been answering them all along? What is the spirit in which we encourage Let me rephrase that, because I don't have any. What is the spirit in which you encourage your own children to be those laborers that are sent into the harvest? If you've ever read St. Augustine's Confessions, it's a tremendous work, one of the greatest works of Christian literature. If you know anything about Augustine, you know he lived quite a life going astray in his early years, and he attributes his conversion to the prayers and the tears of his mother. But in his Confessions, as he describes this life away from the faith, he says he had a prayer that he regularly prayed to God. And that prayer was, "Lord, grant me chastity, but not yet." I often wonder if we perhaps have transformed Augustine's prayer for chastity into our own prayer for vocations. Lord, give us more priests, but not me. Give us more religious sisters, but not my child. Give us more priests and brothers, but not my son. I have run into so many Catholic families who have that sentiment. I was even remember being a part of an evaluation team, or I were participating with an evaluation team of a school where I was appointed. And one of the members of that team was a Dominican sister of Mission San Jose, just across the bay and south of here. And in meeting with many of the parents, one of the parents asked her, "Where are all the sisters that used to staff our schools?" To which sister simply responded, "Well, send us your daughters." And that mother was offended by that comment, to which she said, "It's not our job to provide the sisters." I knew of a man who was recently ordained a priest about 5 or 6 years ago in a religious order, and when he took his first profession of his vows, his mother wept. But they were not tears of joy. She didn't want him to enter the religious life. She wanted acres and acres of grandchildren. He's now a very successful priest and a good friend of mine. I was at one basketball game, not here, but in a previous assignment, in the bleachers about 3 rows behind a couple of parents who were talking, and I overheard one mother shared with another mother, "The other day my son came home and told me he wanted to be a priest. Have you ever heard of anything so stupid?" Whereupon the other mother kind of pointed to who was sitting behind her, and when she saw me, I'm up there. But again, when we have an entire generation, perhaps 2 generations now, praying that someone else's child answered the call to the priesthood and religious life, are we really surprised that we see such a shortage? When we're praying that someone else answer the call to the priesthood and the religious life, maybe God has been, in fact, answering our prayers all along. So when Jesus gives us these admonitions and these instructions that we're so familiar, that are so familiar to us and we're so used to hearing, they almost have a poetic aspect to them. Some of these passages and these phrases we know from memory. Let us picture ourselves not only in the presence of Jesus saying this to us, but in the presence of these very evangelists who have written these gospels for the church, reading them perhaps for the first time to any of us, and how they would have been received there. What is the disposition all of us have, we priests included, when it comes to living that life we are called to live as followers of Christ? In the context, in this case, of promoting vocations to the priesthood, promoting laborers for the harvest, starting with your own children, and how we receive those who've been sent to us as priests, servants, and laborers in this harvest of St. Vincent de Paul. But let us in all things truly examine how we can more and more substantiate our role as those laborers sent to bring the gospel to our families, to our communities, and to our world. And then we will hear Jesus truly assure us, "Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject to us. Rejoice because our names are written in heaven." and that we conduct ourselves as people who are followers of Christ, as people who live as if our names are written in heaven. And in that, we will see an increase of the labors for the harvest and a real welcome for those that God has sent to serve us.